tell me about the process by which you came to be diagnosed with Lyme disease.
Well, I got bitten by a tick, and I know that because I removed the tick, and I was suspicious that I might have got Lyme's disease because I felt like I'd got flu.
Yes.
But I went to my doctor, who understandably didn't have any knowledge of Lyme's disease, had a blood test which came back negative, and so we didn't treat it. And it was a very gradual process after that where I got iller and iller. But the result that, say, a year later, I had really bad mood swings, memory issues, concentration issues, and very low energy. I was sleeping most of the day, and I didn't know why. I did. By then, I'd kind of got my head together enough to realise something was very wrong. So I stopped taking on work, and I changed doctors, and I went to my doctor and said, "Listen, doctor, something's very wrong with me. Can we sort it out?" And he was very helpful, put me in for a whole raft of blood tests.
Yes.
And as an afterthought, I suggested to him, "Oh, you might want to chuck a Lyme's disease test in, but it probably isn't that because I've already been tested." Lo and behold, it came back positive, which was a great relief because I was really struggling with all aspects of my life at that point.
Were you feeling quite confused as well?
There's confusion. It was very cerebral, as in I was moody and confused, but you don't always realise you're moody and confused while you're moody and confused. And it's only if the condition lightens a bit, then you think, "God, did I really shout at the kids like that, I'm afraid to say? Or did I really think that or do that? What was I thinking?" But yeah, there's confusion, there's mental stress. I mean, I'd get angry and have an aggressive reaction to someone who would come and talk to me while I was watching the television. And it wasn't just like I was being a bit short-tempered, it was because it felt like, and I know this sounds silly now, so I'm in a better place now, it felt like an assault. Which is weird, I know, but that's how it felt. After the blood test came back positive, they did a spinal tap and confirmed that I had the bacteria in my spinal cerebral fluid too, and diagnosed me with neuroborreliosis. In other words, kind of Lyme's meningitis. And gave me a course of doxycycline, which absolutely, it was like the heavens opening and the sun shining in. After about 2 weeks, I had a day where it's like, this is what it used to feel like to be normal. Brilliant. And it really was great. And having said that, that was after about 2 weeks of the treatment of the pills. After I'd finished them after, I think, 3 weeks, and quite soon after, I started slipping again and getting groggy in my head again and not feeling so good. Their response to that was very, "Well, you should be better. There's no reason why you shouldn't. Give it time." And I think I did give it time, and broadly speaking, my symptoms worsened, my mental state worsened, and the physical symptoms, which I haven't mentioned yet, but which were always there, which is like sore, achy joints and fatigue, came back too. And they kind of begrudgingly, because as far as they're concerned, there is absolutely no reason why I shouldn't be well, and I felt quite bad for not being better in some ways, because clearly that's what they were expecting. They gave me 2 weeks of intravenous ceftriaxone.
That was on the NHS?
That was on the NHS, just to be sure. They also gave me another spinal tap, which I have to say, I think had a dramatically bad effect on my overall condition, because I remember it took them about 12, 13 attempts to get the needle into my spine. And in retrospect, I think the loss of spinal cerebral fluid, it meant I couldn't sit up without getting blinding migraine-like headaches, and I've never had migraines before, for more than half an hour for the following 4 or 5 weeks. I think that was a really bad thing to do. I think, you know, why did they need to do that?
You didn't feel it was necessary?
No, and they never quite justified it. At the time, I didn't want them to do it, but it was pretty much I wasn't going to get the treatment unless I followed their protocol, which was to test me again. I suppose in some ways they were expecting to see whether I still had an infection in my fluid. But the actual effect was that I lost a lot of spinal cerebral fluid, and it made me very ill to compound being very ill. And it was a pretty horrible time, really. All in all, quite desperate, and I wasn't well at all. And the telling thing for me is when I asked the consultant, or one of the consultants, oh, do you think the fact that I can't be upright for more than half an hour without getting a blinding headache is anything to do with my second spinal tap? She answered, we took your pressure at the end of the procedure and it was fine. And that's fine, but it suddenly made me feel a bit like, ah, you know, that's a very kind of textbook kind of answer. And it made, well, anyway, subsequently, I think the answer is, you know, spinal taps can have serious consequences, and maybe I should have fought a bit harder not to have it, quite frankly. And it was unfortunate it didn't go well. I suppose there's that too, but it's sometimes they don't go well.
So what happened when you had the IV on the NHS?
They put in a line. So it was a permanent line that went in my arm, just below the armpit. And apparently it stopped not far short of my heart. And they left it in there, had a little valve on it, and I went in every day. It was difficult, so I had to time it so that I'd lie down for an hour, and then I'd get up, get in my car, and drive to the hospital, and then I'd have to lie down in my car before I went up to the hospital, because I'd get very ill if I stayed upright, and even sitting up in the car would set it off. So then I'd leg it upstairs. They'd sit me in the storeroom. And,
in the storeroom?
Yes, in the storeroom. They were very keen. I got the feeling that they were kind of... they felt like I wanted to be in a bed there and to have treatment. And the truth is, I didn't. And in fact, there was like a... from the moment I had Lyme's, what was it? One of them said, I always remember this. When they first gave me the doxycycline... one of the consultants said, and if you're not better at the end of it, we're not giving you any more antibiotics. And I remember at the time thinking, that's a kind of odd thing to say. I mean, you know, I'm not a doctor, but why would they say that? And it's only kind of, again, subsequently, where you kind of think, even at that stage, they're clearly, well, there's a bigger picture out there, and I've become more familiar with it over the years, but... basically, I was ill. I was like, oh, well, I mean, at the time, I remember thinking, why would I want more antibiotics? subsequently, I've found out the answer to that question, I guess. And the answer is because you're not better and you want to get better and you think that might help.
So did the antibiotics, the IV antibiotics, did they help?
Yeah. I mean, I think the spinal tap made me very ill, but I think the antibiotics did help. Having said that, I had an allergic reaction as well, which I've subsequently found out might be to do with the use of ceftriaxone. I got an allergic reaction to all the plasters they put on me. Now, I've never had an allergy to plasters before or since, but at the time I blistered up everywhere they had a plaster, and that meant that the central line kept slipping. And the central line was very uncomfortable anyway, because it felt like it was stabbing into my neck.
So were you happy in general terms with the service they gave you?
No, because I kind of felt like they were very cautious of me. They only gave me the treatment, I think, kind of reluctantly, because they were torn between the guidance that they were getting from... And there was a central reference unit in, and they were constantly, every time I saw them, we've spoken, they recommend this. And they were kind of torn between that and the fact that clearly I wasn't fitting into the picture of how things should be. And they wanted to treat, but they had been told that further treatment wasn't necessary. But on the other hand, I was like, well, what are you going to do? Because I ain't better. And they were quite, well, I found it very difficult. Look, my mental state wasn't good anyway. So, and possibly I was oversensitive. My mental state, to say it wasn't very good is an understatement. My mental state was really difficult, kind of keeping my own countenance when your brain isn't right, and my brain was not right.
So what happened when that treatment finished, and did you feel
I was better for a while? I had an improvement, but ultimately I felt like I was getting ill again.
How long did that take after finishing?
Probably a few months.
Right.
I went to my doctor. He referred me back to the consultants. Actually, by that stage, I didn't want to go back to the consultants at the local hospital. That's right.
Why was that?
As I said, I'd seen a lot of people. I'd seen the big wig consultant only once, and the rest of the time his actions, and that was when he had some students to kind of lecture to while I was sat there. And he was very dismissive, and clearly, as a Lyme's patient, I was trouble. I was perceived as trouble. I mean, look, some of the consultants were lovely, some weren't, but generally, I was, as I said, I was told from the start, you know, you're getting this treatment, and if you don't get better, then you've got Lyme's disease syndrome, is what they told me, and there's not much we can do for you, I think was generally where it ended up. And the treatment in the store cupboard was difficult. I nearly passed out one day I was there. As I said, the nurses were lovely and they lay me down on the floor of the store cupboard. But then, I don't know. I was in a bad state of mind. I wasn't going to be happy there. But I didn't like the treatment I got. I felt like I wasn't really talking to anyone. They were being guided by on the phone the whole time. They usually kept me waiting for 2 hours whenever I went for an appointment, which, to be honest, was really difficult because I was feeling pretty rough. So I lost confidence with them and their treatment. In fact, what happened is I decided to get private specialist treatment. I went to this place where they, in North London, they give you private specialist treatment, and I saw a doctor who was great. He said, listen, as far as I'm concerned, you clearly still have an ongoing infection and it requires treatment. He prescribed a regime of oral antibiotics, and I've been in contact with my doctor, and he was like, well, fair enough, it's a good idea to go to them. And he prescribed me oral antibiotics, and I took the prescription to my doctor and said, you know, will you, it wasn't a prescription, it was a letter from the consultant saying this is what I should do. And he had said that he wouldn't have a problem with it, but he then said, you know, I better just check this with the consultants at the local hospital. And it took about 3 months, this process and I wasn't well, and it was really annoying. He then said, they've written back. And this was the point where he just totally, he said, look, and you could understand it. Basically, left from the consultant at the local hospital, who had deigned to see me once when he had students to show off, said, And I'll paraphrase it, but it's a really reasonably accurate paraphrase. The letter said, this course of oral antibiotics has no medical basis and it could kill the patient. That's the paraphrase.
How did that make you feel?
Well, after 3 months, I was just gutted. To be honest, it's very hard. My judgment was definitely not in its best state. So it's hard to make these decisions for yourself. You're desperately trying to find a way to get yourself better. Time goes on. In the end, I went with my doctor. I could have gone back to the private doctor and said, okay, you're going to have to write this prescription. I think that was probably an option, even though it would have been expensive. And having not worked for a while, things were getting bad. I didn't. I went with my doctor. That took me down a whole line of, I went to a different hospital, got a consultant who diagnosed me with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue, brought about possibly by Lyme's disease.
Possibly by Lyme's disease.
That was his diagnosis. That was pretty much his diagnosis. And treatment, which wasn't offered, it was recommended, it was, I think, some sort of therapy and physiotherapy. Was it cognitive CBT? Something like that, one of those. But they weren't offering to give it to me, just suggesting that that would be helpful. I also went to a chronic fatigue workshop week run locally by what was posted as a chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia consultant, but was actually a nurse who had done a short course on these things. I was surprised because, you know, there's a lot of contradictory stuff was brought up. They were serving tea, coffee and sweet biscuits, which personally I've come to think probably aren't helpful for people with my condition, whatever it is. And they would say things like, well, it's useful if you do a bit of exercise. And
so did
generally
you feel...
it wasn't much help.
Right.
So I saw it out.
Help, any help in any way, physically, emotionally, mentally? How was it not a help?
It wasn't a help because I was already wised up enough to know the basic stuff. Yes, I know. Exercise is good. And it took him a week to say exercise is good. Diet's important. And that's really what they said over the course of that week.
So what happened after that?
It wasn't bad. It just wasn't really... it didn't help.
Wasn't specifically
relevant to you. And also certain things were like, they were like, and under no circumstances when you've got fibromyalgia should you take ibuprofen. But actually I find that really helped, especially if I wanted a night's sleep without pain.
Yes.
And I was like, so it was confusing. It didn't really help, even though I'd kind of taken on board by that stage the idea that you should just sit it out and in time, if I ate healthily and exercised regularly, which I was doing, I might get better.
So did you get better after that?
No! I got worse. I got a little bit better. I got worse. But overall, I wasn't getting better.
What do you attribute
to that? So basically, that whole process took about a year.
Right.
You know.
So a year of not feeling very well sometimes.
And ultimately, this is what happened. At the end, by this time I'd given up on taking my antibiotics, clearly not going to help because everyone says it's not going to help and it could kill me. Who knows? It's really hard judgments to take. I'm used to listening to my doctor. You know, you've got to trust someone. So I had a chest infection. My general health hadn't been good and it would go up and sometimes I'd get quite bad symptoms. And I'd be, you know, if you're spending... if you've got fatigue and you ache and your brain isn't working very well, your life shrinks and you don't have much of a life. I just about keep my household, I'm a single dad with three kids, just about keep that together and hope you can pay the bills. I wasn't working. I had a chest infection and it went on and it went on and it went on. And I eventually went to the doctor and he said, well, you could try some antibiotics. It might help. And so I took a week or 10-day course of amoxicillin. Bingo, chest infection went, but all my other symptoms cleared up. And it was at that point I thought, right, I'm going to go back to the private hospital where I'd got the antibiotic prescription before, and this time I'll get them off them. And financially, that was a big move, but it had to be done.
And did that ultimately bring about an improvement that you feel is a bit more stable?
So I took about 3 week course, no, 3 month course of antibiotics in large amounts and mixed up. So I took three different types of antibiotics, which is, you know, well, anyway, that's what I did for 3 months. And I'd taken great care of my digestion, which actually didn't go downhill during that. But that's because I've taken on serious healthy diet, healthy eating, all that sort of stuff for years now. And that didn't make me better, though. That has massively improved my health condition.